One of the ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world is midah keneged midah, measure for measure, which basically Chazal tell us that if a person acts with kindness, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will give him kindness as well. Today, Beis Hashem, I'd like to go through a gavaldige mitzvah, a gavaldige yisoid, a beautiful halacha, which unfortunately doesn't get spoken about too much, and also doesn't get learned. And that's the halacha of achnasas orchim. A gavaldige halacha, a gavaldige mitzvah. The Zohar Kodesh, Parshas Emor, tells us that the action and the attributes of people below arouse the same reaction from Shamayim. And therefore, when a person acts down in this world with certain acts of kindness, nice to other people, in different acts of gemilas chasadim, tzedakah, and all sorts of things, then the Ribbono Shel Olam Shamayim is like a mirror effect and will act to us in that sort of way as well. And then the person will also be filled with Rachmanis and mercy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him tremendous thing. And obviously the opposite is also true, Rachmanis Litzlan. It's Yisoid Rabbeisai in Ben Adon HaChaveira, it's Yisoid in this mitzvah as opposed to other mitzvahs that we've learned about previously. And that is that when a person acts with Chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midah Keneged Midah gives him Chesed as well. And there's nowhere else to turn to look at the stories of the Gedolei Olam. You look at the Gedolim, you look at the Tzaddikim, how they acted with Tzedakah, Gemilas Chasadim, Achnasas Orchim. And you see from the Gedolim such a wonderful idea, an example that they show to the rest of Klal Yisrael, of exactly what the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim, of being kind to other people. And it's another portion, as we mentioned from the Zohar Kodesh, that when a person acts in this world with a chesed, in a kindness to other people, Shamayim is like a mirror, Zoshteit and Zoya Kodesh. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu Shamayim reflects and gives us back whatever we give to people over here. So it's something that is a very choshev mitzvah, choshev halacha, I'd like to go through. There was a secularist that once commented, and when he was talking about Reb Chaim Oizer Grudzinski, and he said that Reb Chaim Oizer, he wasn't sure which one Reb Chaim Oizer loved more, Torah or his fellow Jews. Ad Gidei Kach, he realized, was the love that Reb Chaim Oizer had for other Yidden. It's very interesting, it happened that the president of the Jewish Society of the University of Vilna received a request from Reb Chaim Oizer. Reb Chaim Oizer was the Gadol Hador. He received a request from Reb Chaim Oizer that he'd like to see him at his home. He never met such a Chosheva of a Torah sage, right? And he's being a lifelong secularist. The gentleman found the invitation a little bit surprising. But Al Kaponim, he said, look, okay, let me go. Let me meet what they call the Gadol Hador. Let's see what it's all about. So he was welcomed by Reb Chaim Oizer. He sat there and he was served coffee and cake, whatever it was. They sat chatting for a while. And eventually Reb Chaim Oizer revealed to him the reason why he called to him. And he said to him like this. He said, I heard that there's a number of Jewish students at the university who unfortunately don't have the means, they have no money to buy matzah for the upcoming Yom Tov of Pesach, and therefore Reb Chaim Oizer said, right, I'd like to present you, the society president, with an envelope, and this is the money that will contain enough money, hopefully, to buy the provisions that they need, whether it's wine, whether it's grape juice, whether it's matzah, whatever they need for the upcoming holiday. This man was in complete shock. This was a man that was consulted in all corners of the globe. This was the Gadol Hador that he knew that all Jews in the whole world consulted him as, you know, Das Torah, Halacha Shailas, Eitzes, whatever it was. But yet, he took the feeling to look at what other people who not necessarily maybe, right, I'm going to say this with caution, were going in the same halach that he held to be right, wrong, right, whatever it may be, I don't know. But one going in the same halacha chaim that he held maybe was correct, whatever that may be. But afal pikein is a yidden, these yidden also have to keep Pesach, whatever, I don't know how from they were, I don't know how interested they were, that's not the nafkamina. But the yisoid when he came out with such a meeting from a godlo was his recognition of a fellow yid needs something, I have to help him. And again, you see so many mices from this, from the Gedolim, for example, just to name just a couple of mices as well, that I'll give you one maaser, for example. It's like this. It's a Mordechai maaser, this one. The Kapishan Zereba, right? Ki Yodua, that the Kapishan Zereba, Rav Avraham Yeshua Herschel, right? He was the Rebbe Kapishan. He was mamish, a tremendous growing, a tremendous tzaddik. Rav Aaron Cutler held, and Rav Aaron used to say about him that he is the Godel Hador of Chesed. Rav Aaron used to call him of the Godel Hador of Chesed. The story happened to him that a very bitter and frustrated rabbi in America came to the Rebbe and he complained of his poverty and I can't even go and afford the basic necessities like a brand new hat. So the Rebbe looked at his hat, he saw some shmata hat, and he lit up and he said, "Hold here a moment." He said, "Wait here." He ran upstairs to his bedroom and he took out a hat box. And he ran downstairs and he said, "Here, Rabbi, you take this hat box. This is for you." So the rabbi opened it up and he saw this was the most beautiful rabbinical style hat that obviously Reb Chaim Oizer, the Kavishas of Rebbe obviously saved for himself. And he said, "What are you talking about? This is the Rebbe's new hat. How can I take the Rebbe's new hat?" So the Rebbe said, "Absolutely not. This is not my Shabbos hat. This is my Olam Haba hat. If you don't want me to have a beautiful hat in Olam Haba, whatever I give away now, in this world, will remain mine forever in the next world. So if you keep it here, please keep this tzedakah, keep this wonderful chesed." And that was why Rav Aaron used to call him the Godel Hador of Chesed. He was mamish mole chesed to look at what other people need. Just to tell you another maaser as well. It's a modic maaser, this one. The Satmar Rebbe used to say over this maaser. The Satmar Rebbe said over the maaser that was a very big chosid once visited the Sanzer Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim. And this chosid came to the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim said to him, "Nu, who's your Rebbe? Which Rebbe do you follow?" So he said, "I'm a chosid of the Shin of a Rebbe. That's the son of the Sanza." So he said, "Really? You're a son of the Shin of a Rebbe? You're a chosid of the Shin of a Rebbe? What's the chat? Why'd you pick this Rebbe?" He said, "He's the greatest Rebbe that there is." So the Sanza Rebbe said, "Really? My son is the greatest Rebbe? Well, tell me, what is it that he does so well?" He said, "You should see how he davens with such a slav as his mom is talking to the Rebbe in Shalayla." Sanza Rebbe said, "No, every year has to do that. It's the greatest thing in the world that he speaks to the Rebbe in Shalayla and davens that way. No, everybody has to do it. What's enough, Gemina?" "Oh," he said, "you should see how he learns about smothering a doyla for hours and hours." "Oh, all right, very nice. Next, give me something else. Everyone has to do that. That's a double portion." And then he said like this, said the chosid, he said, "I want to tell you what this person is like in chesed. The shin of a rov is like in chesed, in stocker, in charity, in his gemilas chasodin. There was once a freezing winter night. And the shin of a was walking in deep, deep, deep snow. And he saw there was a beggar who was making his rounds from door to door. And he noticed that the beggar had no boots to protect his feet. Right there, at that moment, the shin of a rov took off his boots and he gave them to the poor man as a gift." Aha! Said the Sanza Rebbe, "That's why he's the greatest Rebbe. Not the Torah, not the Tzvila, but his chesed to somebody else." When you have a yisoid that you have to look at what other people need and the chesed of other people, it gives a person a whole different perspective of life. As I said, I'd like to get now to the mitzvah and the wonderful halacha of Achnasas Orchim, which, as we know, and we're going to see Be'ez Hashem, is mamish one of the tremendous mitzvahs of Ben Adam Chaveroi, Gemilas Chasodim, Stoker, all goes into the same inyan. There's a Moedika Rambam. The Rambam writes, Gemilas Chasodim Shebegufoi, Ein Loishi, V'nichla V'yahavta Reicha Kemoicha. There is no amount, there's no cut-off point for the amount of chesed that somebody can do for another yid, for another person. As I state in the Rambam, we say this every single morning. We say it in the morning before Shachris, Beruchas HaTorah. This is one of the mitzvahs that the Mishnah in Peah says, Oichol Peiraseyem Ba'olam Hazeh Ve'Hakeren Kayemes Ba'olam Haba. That it's a gewaltige mitzvah that in Achanami you'll reap the fruit. You'll get beautiful reward of fruit in this world. But the keren, the ikah, the main, the principle, all of that is saved for the next world. There's a Merdeka also. Chazal tell us like this. Chazal tell us that when the Beis HaMikdash was Mekayim, how does a person get rid of his Aveiros? No, you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring up to the Kohen Gadol the carbon, and you machafa the Gan Saveiros. It's a beautiful thing. Says Chazal in the Gemara, what do we do nowadays? As I stated in the Gemara, what do we do nowadays? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Shulchonoi Shal Odom Machapa Olav. The Rishonim explain, what does it mean, Shulchonoi Shal Odom? Your own personal dining room table is Machapa on you. What's the Pshat? Says the Rishonim, the Pshat is Hachnosas Orchim. when a person invites guests to his house, that is what nowadays we have as our mizbeah, as our opportunity to mechapa our aveiros. And this is something that we have to remember for the rest of our lives. Be'ez Hashem, we hope that everybody here, b'korav, b'ito, b'zmane, in the right time, will get married, and will bring a house and a family, b'chule, b'chule. This is a mitzvah that a lot of people don't know is much of a mitzvah. They think it's like a nice thing to do, without realizing it's such a gemara gazach. I'll tell you, for example, that there's a gemara in Sukkah. The gemara in Sukkah actually says, Mentesim and Beis, that the mitzvah achnosos orchim is greater than stokah. Now, I don't want to give you now a Musa Shmuz now of half an hour how great Stokah is, but Stokah is one of the top. Ad kedei kach the Balatanya in Igeres ha Chuba, I think it is over there in Perek Tes, writes over there that nowadays Ikvus of the Mashiach, we're holding by a situation where Mashiach is about to be in. How do we over the Rebbeinu Shloim? How do we come closer to Rebbeinu Shloim? Through Stokah, through acts of kindness to other people. That was for their days. Nowadays we're not holding on that madriga. I was the Balatanya already. Al-Koponim, the Gemara state Mufurish, the Achnosis Orchim, bringing somebody into your house. We'll have to explain what that means, a poor person, a rich person, what's the Hagdor of Achnosis Orchim. But Al-Koponim, as I state in the Gemara, in Ksubas, in Sukkadach Memtes, Achnosis Orchim is big, greater than Stoker. Chazal tell us that if we look at the parasha of Avraham Avinu, when Avraham was bringing in what he thought were Orchim, but really we know that they were Arabs. He brought in what he thought were Arabs, but really they were Malachim, sent from the Rebbeinu Shloim to Mekayim, this Kabbalah mitzvah that he was waiting for, of Achnosis Orchim. You see that the Torah goes through lengths to explain what did he give to them, how did he serve it, who's in charge of bringing this, who brought that, what's that, what are the details for? Zulchazal, the details, the Chofetz Chaim says this in Avos Chesed. The Chofetz Chaim says, what is the Torah teaching us? The Torah is teaching us, look at this mitzvah, Achnosos Orchim, not Stavonach HaMitzvah. It's the mitzvah of the Torah is trying to teach you that every single prat, every detail is so choshev. Ad kedei kach, that Chazal actually tell us as well, Achnosos Orchim is a tremendous skula. The Reb Chaim Palaji in his Sefer Kapha Chaim writes that if a person wants a skula for children, and not only children, children of Talmidei Chachomim, everybody wants to have kids, and everybody even more so wants to have kids that are Talmidei Chachomim, Reb Chaim Palaji in the Sefer Kapha Chaim, one of the biggest skulas, or Achnosos Orchim without a shaila whatsoever. It's also a skula for Arichas Yomim. There's a Gemara, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches tells us that Abaya lived 20 years longer than Rabba. What's the reason? Because Abaya had these acts of chesed, gemilas chasodim, that other people not necessarily had on the same madrega as him. As I state in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches. Now the shail is exactly what was this mitzvah of Achnosos Orchim, right? We're talking all about it, the Gemalda Gemaylas. Now how do we make this mitzvah? How do we do this mitzvah of Achnosos Orchim? Right? It's the Gei Be'ez Hashem to every single person. So the Lemaisa like this, the Rambam wants to learn that the Makor of Achnosos Orchim is where the Torah says V'halachto Bidrochov, which means we are commanded to go in the Derech, in the Mahalach, in the same way as the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And therefore, since we are commanded to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanos on us, and therefore we also have to do all acts of kindness, which the Rambam holds is Nichlal in the mitzvah of Achnosos Orchim. Others want to taina, it's V'hafta L'meicha Kamoicha. The Rambam in different places says that when a person invites guests, it's Mamash V'hafta L'meicha Kamoicha. Others want to taina, no, there's a ganz mashlosh shayla about it. Now, the shayla is like this. What does it mean, Achnosos Orchim? Does it mean that I see somebody after davening on Shabbos, and I see the guy's Pasha got nowhere to eat? You know, I had some one time after Shabbos, a fellow came to me and said, Pasha, I don't have where to eat. It's very rare. Very rare. No, in the olden days, it was a very common thing. People traveled all over the place. They waited after davening for people, Pasha, to invite them. It was like a normal thing to do. You waited there, you go over to somebody, you got in to eat. No, come to my house. Generally nowadays you don't have it so much. Maybe different places you do, I don't know. But in a normal, regular place, you don't generally have people that don't have meals. So I had a fellow came to me, says, yeah, Pasha, I don't have anywhere to eat right now. If you don't invite me, I'm Pasha going to go hungry. Right? With Shabbos, where do I expect him to go? So is that Achnosos Orchim? Or how about I want to invite a couple of boys over? Stop! But that's the guys over for Shabbos. No. Is that called Achnosos Orchim? And I was, what's the ghetto of Achnosos Orchim? So it's interesting. The Ramah in Orach Chaim, Simon Shinamad Gimel, in Hilchos Shabbos, actually says a very interesting thing. There are more paskins that Achnosos Orchim means they don't live here. They live somewhere else, and they don't have anywhere else to stay or anywhere else to eat.
As I state in the Ramah, says the Ramah, you invite somebody that lives in your town, that lives in your place, near you, and he's got somewhere to eat, but it's nice to have him by the night. The Ramah paskins, that is not considered, it's a beautiful thing to do. I'm not taking away for a second of the Gevaldige Chesed and Stock and all sorts of wonderful things. But if you want to be out of this Gevaldige school of this mitzvah, this wonderful halacha of Achronos Arachim, the Ramah upon him says, it's not good enough. Other Achronim, they say no, anyone that you invite, even a group of friends, is considered to be Achronos Arachim. How do we paskin? So there's a Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah paskins the halacha that even according to the Ramah, if a person invites an additional friend to enjoy the meal as company for a guest, then that's considered to be Achnosis Orchim for the guest, for the friend. That's a very interesting halacha. Lemaisa, again, for sure, if he's out of town, he's got nowhere to eat, and you invite him, somebody's coming over, and you invite them, there's no shayla, that's for sure considered to be Achnosis Orchim. Now, the shayla says, does that apply to poor people or rich people? Very interesting. There's a Maril. The Maril writes, Achnosis Orchim is only negay to wealthy people. What's the pshat? Because if you have a poor person, that's stalker. That's the mitzvah of stalker. Poor person is stalker, not achnos hazorachim. You want to be yotz the mitzvah in the school of achnos hazorachim? According to the Maharil, it has to be done with somebody that has money. The Shlach HaKadosh says, forget, I'm choylik on this. The Shlach HaKadosh, no, it applies to anybody. It applies to anybody that needs a meal. Now, Lemaisa, a person has to know achnos hazorachim is so choshev ad gedei kach, so you state in Chazal, that if a person's about to go to the Beis Medrash, he's about to go learn, and somebody comes because he needs poshet, someone to eat, someone to have a drink, whatever it is, and you want to invite them in, you stop your learning, you stop going to the Beis Medrash, and you give them that. Godel achnos hazorachim. More than Talmud Torah, Lemaisa, especially if it's a mitzvah she'iv shalasas al yedei achem, which means it can't be done by other people as well. This is very negayah sometimes. You have a guest, right? You've got a guest coming in your house, and you've got to have mincha. You've got to have mincha. So your choice is, what do? You tell him, sorry to tell you, but I've got to leave now, because I've got to have mincha. That's not very nice. You'd be very upset, especially if someone that's close to you might say, you know, I came all the way to visit you, this, that, and the other, and you're just leaving me. So, nahalami. If that's the case, you have a heter right now not to daven with the minyan. Maybe later you do have to. It's the same halacha as well. If you, for example, could tell him, oh, you know, you have someone over there, understands you're davening mincha, then nachanami, there's no shayla with such a thing over there. There is a tremendous shayla when you invite people who are not necessarily going to make a bracha, right? You have someone in the house, for example, you have someone that's coming to fix the electricity, and someone's coming to fix the plumbing in the house. So you want to offer them a drink, you want to offer them a piece of cake, this, that, and the other, right? He's mamish hungry, he's been sitting there the whole day working, he's got nowhere else to eat, he's got no food right now to go and buy. So the shayla, if it's called achnos hazorachim, but I have another problem. How am I going to give him something if he's not going to make a bracha? So a lot of posts can help. If you know for sure he's not going to make a bracha on his food, so it could be that you're not allowed to give it to him, because you know vadei, we're talking about he's a yid, obviously. He's a yid, he's not going to make a bracha, it's a tremendous shayla, the same thing with bread, and he's not going to wash as well. The shayla is if a person is allowed to have people coming to his house, if he is, in which case, if you know for sure, you shouldn't give it to him. If you know for sure, it's a suffix, you can. Or, the only that the Rav Shlomo Zalman comes out like this, and he says that if you're dealing with kiruv, meaning, if you know you're dealing with someone that if you're not going to give him, he's going to he'll be more upset with you. Or if you give him, hopefully you'll eventually get him closer and closer to Torah, then Achadem is a mock up to be Mako. You have to, it depends who you're dealing with, right? A lot of times, I've had this myself, but I'm sure everybody knows. Sometimes you have people that then come with that, no kapu b'chal. All of a sudden, you give him a glass of water, puts his hand or water on the head, baruch ator, it's like a smamish, a moody gazach. You know, it's smamish unbelievable. It's a Yerushalayim. Tremendous chad that person will get. It's unbelievable. Al Kaponim, yeah. Rav Moshe talks about this case. Rav Moshe in Igus Moshe Orchaim Chelik Alef Simen Nuches Sadiches. Rav Moshe talks about this case. It's a big arichas that will take me a minimum of 25 minutes to go through, which I haven't got time, unless you guys want to stay till 11 o'clock. I don't mind. But Rav Moshe Zaka says, Rav Moshe is a shayla. If you know that they're going to drive to you and drive home, then you're not allowed. What the Eitzah normally is you, what you do is driving there. Okay, you try and study it, maybe come before Shabbos, whatever, and then you offer them a place to sleep. You say, listen, I've got a spare room. Come and sleep by me. If they turn it down and say, no, that's not my problem. If I invite them without giving them a place to sleep, I'm basically telling them to drive home, because there's no other way to doing it. Again, these are complicated shaylas. Each personal shayla should be asked to one's personal Orthodox rabbi, but I'll call upon him in a regular case. That's the general idea of where we're holding over there.
Yeah, what about anything else you might do? Like, you might take
No, that's not my problem. That's not. I live on the third floor. He can walk up the stairs, he can take the elevator, he can take the elevator. That's for his own good, not for my good. No. If you live on the 28th floor, I don't know. I had a fellow one time, it says to me, it was afterwards, because it was too obviously on Shabbos, my phone generally doesn't get answered. So he was staying in a hotel somewhere in, I don't know if it was Japan or Hong Kong, and before he got there, it was a very famous Hasidic Jew. And obviously he had to stay in his room. No, he didn't want. There was a Lubavitcher minion in the area, whatever it was. The Kitza, he made sure to tell the, when he booked his hotel over there, that I need the lowest floor closest to the Knesset, to the reception lobby, because obviously on Shabbos, when I want to go and daven in the minion or eat with the Chabad, whatever it is, I want to make sure that I can walk up without having, it's one of these, huge skyscraper, 144 floors, whatever it is, that he doesn't fancy walking up on Shabbos, especially when you can't have a shower, b'choli. He said, no problem, we'll give you the next floor up after the Kabbalah, after the reception, after the entrance level, that's no problem. What he didn't know was that was on the 72nd floor. That was the reception, the Kabbalah was on the 72nd floor, so he got the 73rd floor. Because he had to walk up on Shabbos Kodesh, as I'm a serious nefesh. Old cold bonnet, going back to the mitzvah at hand of mitzvah achlas l'sarachin. It's like this. It's Lamaisa number one. That's right. Another halacha which is a geir as well, is that when a person has to know this as well, when you've got an oylech, when you've got a guest coming to your house, it's very nice for you to invite him. I'm busy right now, here's a cup of water, here's a coffee, here's a cake, let me go back to my business, let me go back to my learning, let me go back to whatever it is I'm busy with. So it's interesting, the halacha is that a person should not just leave them to themselves. There was a famous maisa when Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, right, the Swedish Eish, came to visit Rabbi Chaim Oizer on Sukkos. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer came and he served Rabbi Weinberg food at the sukkah, and he explained to him, I'm sorry to tell you, but I'm eating inside because I'm potter from the sukkah, it was too cold, whatever it is, it was an older rob, whatever. So he said, I'm going inside. A couple of minutes later, he comes running back inside and he sits with him. So I thought you were potter from the sukkah, I thought you were eating inside. Yeah, you're right, but I'm not potter from Machnosas Ochem. Machnosas Ochem tells me that I have to sit with you. And that's the mamash that you said. If we want to look at anybody, anyone, to give us an idea of Achnosas Ochem, Rabbi Yisai, there's no bigger Musa Haskell that I found in Rav Shalom Shadron. Rav Shalom Shadron was mamish when it came to Achnosas Ochem. Let me just read you a couple of things that is written in his biography over here in Mefurish in the article, page 62. That it writes over here, such an amazing thing, that it says over here Rav Shalom was probably one of the G'dolei Hador in Achnosas Ochem. Right, there was a time when he even wanted to devote shiurim. If you know, Rav Shalom Shadron was mamish, that big maggid used to go and give shiurim all over the world, and he wanted to donate many of his shiurim to this topic of Achnosas Ochem because he felt it was so choshev. But I'll compare him, I don't think he managed to do that. But the maisa, his personal example of how he set his life, was something that everybody personally, whether it was his family, whether it was his neighbors, whether people that heard it, and even me that read it, got a tremendous chizik from hearing about it. There was a particular story which struck me, was amazing. This story is told of a very oddly behaved guest who suffered from a very painful stomach disorder. They weren't sure if it was real or it was just imaginary. Al Capone, this fellow over here, tainted that he required oil massages and frequent bandaging all the time. He had strange fears. He used to, at any moment, he would suddenly erupt and he would shout, "Give out! They want to kill me!" Right, so most sort of people sort of kept away, when he's coming in, they sort of cross the road to make sure that he doesn't meet you, doesn't get to you. And even if people were almost big rahmanis and tremendous compassion, lemaisa, their doors of their homes were always closed to him without a shaila. Where did he go? Where did he turn to? There was only one address that he could go to, and that was 17 Shari Chesed, which was the address of Rav Shalom Shadron. And he found it, and Rav Shalom used to devote time to him. He would change his bandages. The Rebbetzin washed them with her own hands. There was no washing machine in those days. The Rebbetzin fed him. She calmed him. His clothes used to reek so unbearably that the family members were unable to be near him for more than a few minutes. That was how bad it was. At night, all the girls of Rav Shalom Shadron and the mother slept in one room, and Rav Shalom slept in the other one right near the guests. Right now, according to Rav Shalom, which there were many guests like, according to his son-in-law, there were many guests like this, and nobody used to want to sit next to him. Rav Shalom would put him right next to him on the table to make him feel choshev, even though the other members of the family, Poshev, couldn't take the smell. He would allow them to go slightly a bit further away, Poshev, otherwise they wouldn't be able to eat the Shabbos Suda. But Al-Koponim, he was mamish, he used to tell his children how choshev it was not to embarrass their guests. He seems to say that in our house we perform the mitzvah of Achnosas Ochem. Anybody that finds it too difficult can eat somewhere else. That's what he used to say.
somebody once came into Rav Shalom's house, and they found him, as usual, sitting and learning. Not far from his chair sat a simple Jew, reciting Tehillim aloud, in a big, loud voice. Later the man told him that he distributed newspapers, and he had time left on the day, so he came to Rav Shalom's house, he ate a meal, and sat saying to him the whole time, and Rav Shalom would take and pay him for all these sorts of things. I mean, there's so many mices that go on in Rav Shalom's house, it's unbelievable. But the yisoy that we're meant to get from this is as follows. We have to realize, as we started with as well, that when we show rachmanis on somebody else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki'ilu, like a mirror, midah keneged midah, shines the rachmanis on us as well. It's the yisoy that we should remember for our whole lives, to take guests into our house, to treat them correctly, not to embarrass them, whatever it may be. And Be'ez Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shem, should give us all the siyasa d'shmaya to bekayem this mitzvah in the best possible way.